You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 12. Matthew and chapter 12. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart again in your presence. Thank you very much that we can look to you and God find your wonderful working, your wonderful worth, God. You're the mostest. So deal with us. We'll thank you very, very much. Children downstairs, the little ones, God help them, help us. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, may I remind you, our Lord in the upper room, he's going to be crucified in a few hours, and he's helping the 11. Now, in helping the 11, he is the promised Savior, Genesis 3 and 15. He's the promised Savior that came, that's here, because before God created anything, the Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. And God did that. That is, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, they went and agreed to do a wonderful thing to glorify themselves. Who else can understand God except God? And God, you have to do it in order to have it be of God. If it's less than you, then it isn't of God, and it can't glorify you. So you must do it, and he did. Now, in the light of that, in Matthew chapter 12, and we're looking now, the basis of what he has done before all creation, what he has said he had to do in the very beginning of Genesis chapter 3, of creation of the world and all therein. And all of that has to be worked out. All of that. You're in chapter 12, just to see it. Go over to chapter 16, right next door. And in chapter 16, picking up the thought, verse 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ, and we shared all that. There's a time you don't say anything. It's the wrong time. Verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto the disciples how that he must, M-U-S-T, absolutely compulsion, go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders, of the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. They had to understand that. Matthew chapter 12. That's the whole point now. You want to know why anything is, where it's going. I mean, we get focused. So, God, I got to get the reason and rhyme for everything, so then it comes together. So then, God, help us. And as we mentioned in Sunday school a little bit, you want to learn and relearn and unlearn. And there's many, many, many pieces. What we fumble around trying to get a couple of pieces out. You need all of the pieces. You don't want to say things. You got to have the pieces that make everything simple. Not confusing, wonderfully, wonderfully real and simple. But you've got to have the pieces. They're God's pieces. So God, we're looking at the pieces in order to claim and understand an awesome truth in John chapter 14. Now, so here's Matthew chapter 12. And remember, we've shared it many, many times. Verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. And he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given it to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah, prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He's going to be crucified, resurrected on the third day, after the third day. Now, having said that, that's what it's going to... Now, the point, you read it in verse 38, 39, etc. Who wanted a sign? They did. The Jews wanted a sign. And God is only going to give him one sign. Now, here's the Gentiles out here, and then here's the Jews. And the Jews are right up front in the crucifixion. Gentiles are out here. Now, so God, what do you say? Well, I'm trying to help them understand that the Jews of all people, should understand Genesis 3:15 and all the way, a crucified Savior. Now, having that, Jews want a sign. Over to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and you would recall to the Corinthians, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, verse 18. Now, slide right down along and go to verse 22, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign. See? And the Greeks, the Gentiles, seek after wisdom to understand logic and rationale, reason, etc. What do the Jews want a sign? They want a sign. And the only sign I'm going to give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. As he was 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, he's going to rise again. That's the only sign I'm going to give him. Now, that's where we are. What's the sign? I'm going to be crucified and risen, and I'm going to rise again. And that's the sign. An empty tomb, I'm going to go to show what? That I have risen again. Think of Romans chapter 1, verse 4 and that. God has taken by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and declared him to be the Son of God. So there's no question. So the whole issue, as history continues, is to vindicate and verify and give evidence that Jesus Christ, the only sign, is he's going to rise again. It's all about whom? Who? It's about our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, as we proceed. Now, so here, Acts chapter, you don't have to turn there, Acts chapter 2, you remember? On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit of God did a wonderful thing, baptizing, as we think of Sunday school, baptizing them into a unique oneness. The Spirit of God did a oneness with whom? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the common denominator. That's what makes us one. That's why we sit here, hopefully. Either you're a seeker, a God-fearer, and you know him. And that's why we're here. It isn't because of your personality or your job or your social club or something. It isn't that. No, we're here because we have a common Savior, a common God, a common life, one body. That's what we're shooting for. That's what we need to understand. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so the church. Now, having said that, God, now how are we going to go and evidence? How are we going to go and show the wonderful, wonderful grace that we have? You're going to give us power after the Spirit of God comes upon us. And you're going to show the person of whom. You're going to bring, we're going to be your, Acts 1:8, your witnesses. We're going to witness to you. We are your personal, prized, peculiar treasure. and we're going to bear witness to you. That's right. So it ended up on us. No, that's important because it's coming up. You're going to ask. Whatever you ask. Well, boy, you better have something because you got to see that God. Now, so therefore, God, here we are looking, and God, you are going to go and evidence your wonderful person in the most wonderful way. And Nicodemus is going to say it in John chapter 3. You don't have to turn there. Of a truth. All that you do, Lord, at night he met with him, remember, of a truth. Only God can do what you do. No one else can do it except God. Ah. So what are we going to do? We're going to evidence the wonderful person of Jesus Christ. And how so? Only God can do it. No one else can do it. You can't do it, and I can't do it. Nope. Only God. And when it's done, the only one that's going to get credit is God. That's what he's going to have to say. Only God can do that, not humans. They can't do it. God does. That's right. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, over, if you would please, to John chapter 14. And we share together that we're going to do works, more works, greater than, numerous and quality, quantity, etc. Verse 12, 14, 12. Verily, verily, assuredly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do. Why? Because I go unto my Father. I'm going to go to the Father. Now, and that was my assignment, crucified, risen, seated at the right hand of God, and to make possible the only sign he's going to give that he's risen, ascended, seated. Now, how are you going to, you're seated up here, God, here you are, and in your awesomeness, and here we are. Now, how are you going to show that you're seated? How are you going to show the empty tomb? I'm going to take the whosoevers that believe, and I'm going to evidence not their ability, but my grace in their life. And I'm going to show my wonderful Son in them. Now, hang on. Now, therefore, verse 13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that purpose will I do. Why are you going to do it? That the Father may be glorified. How is the Father going to be glorified? In the Son. Are we going to glorify the Father without the Son? Nope. We're going to glorify the Father by and in the Son. Hang on to that. And, verse 14, if you shall ask, if you do, ask anything, third, you may or may not, ask anything in my name, I will do it. Anything in my name, I will do. Now, hang on to that. The word ask, we share together, important. Our Lord doesn't use it, but we do. And is the ask. It has to do with desire, the desire of the will. The desire of the will. The desire of the will to see something, have something. The desire to have something. A desire, a determined desire of the will. To desire something, all right, of the will. Of the will, underline, W-Y-L-L, will, underline the will. That's right. We determine to make a decision. We are able to say as a human being, I am, I ought, I am morally responsible, I am, I ought, and I'm able to go and look to you, God, and I will. I have the right to choose. Now hang on to that part. Because in the body of Christ, the believer is free to make choices. Being saved doesn't eliminate, you don't become a robot when you get saved. You don't become a robot. You're there. And you're there to demonstrate to angels good and bad, to humans. You choose. You choose. How do you get saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You have to make a choice to believe. If you're going to keep growing, what are you going to make a choice? To grow. To know. It's choice, 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 choice. Now, God, here we're in the body, and we have the right desire, asking, we're desiring. We choose. We choose what? To ask in your name, no other, and we're to choose to do so for what reason? To glorify you, Father. That's what we're doing it for. Don't want to get ahead of myself. No. So here, God, give us this wonderful power to do these awesome, wonderful things. Now, so asking in God's oneness, we're asking, remember now, John 1:12, you become a child of God when you receive him as your Savior. You become a child of God. So I'm a child, you're a child, you're all children of somebody. You're all children of somebody. Well, when you get saved, you become a God's child. Only it's different than human parents. Human parents come and go, up and down, right or wrong. But not God. Not God. Nope. So, and we come to know you as our Lord and Savior, and we know from John, Romans 8, and all of those things, that God, you not only are we born again, a child, into the family, but we are adopted, placed into the body with all the benefits instantly. And you become, it's called adopted, sons, with a full benefit. That's the Son. God, the Son of Man, the Son of God, Son of Man, Son of God. That's what you are. You're a son in the Son. To ask as a son, to desire, representing the Son by choice. I choose being in the body to represent the Son. And so I have the right to choose, to ask, to desire. What? To desire be for the Son. The Son. Jesus Christ is going to continue to do or show his wonderful sign by having life. As we get down the corridor, we have life and we get down the corridor, and that's what we're to have. We desire. God, how did you show that life? By words and works. That's what I did. And you're going to be here as my body showing what? Who I am. How? By works and words. Whose works? My works. You're going to ask in my name. I'm going to do it. And John, I don't want to jump ahead of myself. John 15:5. Without me, you can what? How much can you do? Nothing. You can't do anything. That's what you're doing. You're a son, and you represent him. And we ask as a son, not about me, not about you, not about your job, your family, or anybody. It's about you. That's right. I'm a son, and I've been given an assignment, a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been given an assignment to honor you, God, on behalf of the Son in his body, to honor you. For what reason? The Lord Jesus Christ was sent to show who you are. I and my Father are one. So God, you're going to go and show your wonderful person in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, who chose to be slain on Calvary's cross. And God, they're going to show the Father by way of the Son. That's right. So God, as sons, in the Son, we're going to ask you, for what? To honor the Son. In the name of the Son, do what you do. Hang on, we'll get it. Now, having said that little bit and getting there, hopefully, now. So God, we're going to go and honor the Father. We're going to honor the Father by honoring the Son. That's what we're going to do. And God, you're going to go and help us in every way because we're going to be asking, looking to you. Now, having said that, over to 1 John. 1 John and chapter 5. And you would recall, 1 John and chapter 5, picking up, if I may, go to, you'll see it directly, verse 13, No, I'm going to read verse 12 even to remind us. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath no life. So what makes a person saved? When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you receive the Son, then you have life. That's the way it is, whether you're in any part of the world, on a mountaintop, in a valley, in the bottom of the ocean. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, you have life. That's the rule. That's what God does. No question. Now, therefore, in order then that God gave us His word, these things, verse 13, have I written, that's why we're reading them unto you, that believe on the, what do you need to do? Need to believe, said God. Believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So we need to know. We need to know and understand. That's right. So we know we're a son. So if we don't have that, then we're asking all kinds of things and thinking them. But we need to do so based on our relationship. Is the relationship genuine and real? Absolutely. Are you a son? Yes, I am. Are you a son? Even girls? You're sons. Your son's in the Son. Now, having said that a little bit, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask, there's your little word, verb, ask anything, according to His will, He heareth us. We're going to ask anything in His will, and His will. It isn't about what we want. It's about honoring the Son. So that's why we're alive. That's why we get saved, in order to show what? Life. Whose life? His life. Resurrected life. That's we're the evidence. Verse 15. And if you know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition. See the word ask in the verb. See the word petition. That's also the word ask. Desire. Petition, desire, ask. So therefore, we have the petitions, the asking, what we're desiring, desired of Him. So we got all those words all repeated, the petitions, the desire, the asking, all connected. That's right. So whatever you ask in My name, I will do it. In My name, whatever you ask. Now, having said that a little bit, whatever you're going to ask, that's an awesome thing. And people balk at that because it doesn't make sense. It is impossible. And it is. It's absolutely impossible. It's a silly statement. Except that God made it. And when God makes it, it isn't silly anymore. When God says it, nothing's silly. When God says anything, nothing's silly at all. Watch. Now, therefore, God, here we are looking, and You're going to go and do a wonderful thing for us if we ask anything in Your name, in Your Son. That's right. Now, slide over to, you got to round this off with all the pieces, get some of them anyway, over to Philippians, and in chapter 4. We're talking about prayer, which we did not long ago. Philippians chapter 4. May I go directly in the light of everything to verse 6. Be careful, stop worrying, command, stop doing it, don't be anxious. Be careful, don't be anxious for anything, for nothing. 4, but in everything by prayer, looking to God, exercising your relationship to God as a son, as a child of God, and supplication, when you have need, questions, you're trying to solve something, work through something, you're going to go and bring that supplication to God. And whatever you're going to, you're going to go and stay in fellowship. We walk in the light as He is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ, what? Is cleansing you from all sin. So just stay in the light. I got it. Now, things come up. Work, home, school, play, everything. And things come up. What, God, I don't know, what should I do? Looking for what to do. Because We ask anything in your name, you'll do it. That's right. That's what you said twice. I'll do it. Okay, so God, we're going to look to you. Here I am in a situation, work, home, school, hard, much, little. I'm looking to you, God. God, what do you want? I'm looking for your will. Desire, asking, desire. I want desire of the will. I want your will in this. I don't know which way to go with this. God, I'm going to work through it as best I can with my common sense, with the little bit of understanding I have. And God, you're going to have to put the rest of it together. So God, I'm counting on you. I'm desiring your will as I proceed, and I don't know. When I do know, when I'm relaxed, I walk in the light as he is in the light, and it's easy. You go to bed, get up, eat your breakfast and lunch, and do what you do, work, home, and school, and relax. Whatever you do, do it as what? As unto me. That's what you do. In word, thought, and deed, drink, whatever you do. Just, God, you're a son. That's right. But when things come up, and wow, God, then I need to look to you in supplication. I need God, I need your desire. That's what I'm, God. The Lord Jesus Christ made me, gave me the privilege of being in your body. God, in your body, that's right. God, here we are now. So God, we're looking to you. And we're asking in his name, we represent him. We're sons to give evidence. How did the evidence come when he was for 3 1/3 years? By his words and works, he evidenced his wonderful relationship, his awesome life, and whatever he did. So God, here we are, it's our turn on planet Earth to do all of this. Wow, that's a wonderful thing. That's correct. Now, in the process, and we're to do it with thanksgiving. Underline, big underline, big letters, thanksgiving, thanksgiving, not just turkey. Thanksgiving, 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 lots of thanksgiving. That's how you do it. Otherwise, you aren't going to go very far unless you get a lot of thanksgiving. And super duper, you understand, 1,000,000,000 times, God said, if you knew what I was doing as I watch over you, surround you, and have a wonderful plan for your life, you'd be full of thanksgiving. You'd be full of it. Now, with thanksgiving, verse 6, let your requests be made known unto God. That's what we're going to do. And God, we're looking to you. And over in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your need, whatever need to use, according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So God, you're going to take care. That's right. I want your will in it, however it is, as we go down the corridor of time. So we're going to do that. Uh-huh. And so therefore, we look to you and whatever's lacking. And God, and when we do so, you know, verse 7, chapter 4, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep guard your hearts and minds, your thought process, through Christ Jesus. So we aren't going to worry, no, be careful for nothing. We aren't going to worry. And we're going to go and look to you when things are there, and when they're there, and God, here I am. I don't know what to do, and I'm looking to you, looking to your word. God, you got to help me. And until, and God, and then you think about it, it's serious, and you're worried, and you wonder what the repercussions or whatever, and you look to God, and you do it again. Why? You're going to do it. God, don't remember we said tennis. We're going to look to God until I can say thank you. In the midst of this God operation, work, home, school, God, I'm looking to you for your will. 1 John 5:14-15. If we ask anything according to your will, we already have it. We already have it, that the Father may be glorified. So God, I'm going to see it, work it through. I want to use my little bit of understanding to work it through. That's what I'm going to do. And so I'm going to do it. And God, you have to help me work through. And sometime, either the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and we fall down. Absolutely. That's how we learn. That's how you grew up. That's how you can walk around a little bit. Because you grew up, you learned. You learned how to walk. You learned how to move. You learned how to think. a little bit. So God, we're exercising it. And so God, you're going to help us through it. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So hang in there. And we're working it through. God, your wonderful will in a wonderful way. That's right. Now, so God, we're looking to you with all our heart. And we're going to do so. And now, over if you would to Matthew. Remember in Matthew, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. My God shall supply all your need. Okay. So God, you're going to, so it isn't a question of running out of stuff to have. God, you're going to keep me going. Absolutely. Absolutely. And whatever, you get hit by a steamroller, whatever. I'll keep you going. Don't be of good cheer. It's not going to change what I'm doing. Well, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew in chapter 6. And you would recall in chapter 6, picking up if I may. Remember now, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the Jews, you be our king. Oh, remember they wanted John chapter 6, verse 15. They wanted him to be king right then. On that, just step into the throne, knock Nero out, knock Herod out, and be our king. But no, it doesn't work that way. Nope. So in the process, God looking, they wanted a king. I'm going to tell them, if I were to be your king right now, as you are, do you understand? Your whole world will change. It'll all change right now. And I am the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And the world will change. You want me to be king? Everyone ready to change and understand when I'm boss and I take over and step up front like I'm going to ultimately in the millennium when I do so. But right now, if I did so, let me tell you what it's going to be like. Chapter 5, 6, and 7. So chapter 6, God, you need to get to God. That's right. And verse 8, Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth the things that you have need. You see the word need? My God shall supply all your need. Philippians 4:19. You have need before you ask him. That's right. So God, you already know before you ask. If I'm king, you have to understand you're going to have to look to me for everything. Slide over chapter 6. And in verse 32. For all, after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. There's your little word, need. And we read last time together, remember, we reminded ourselves, the Lord Jesus said in John 16 and that, you aren't going to ask anything in my name. From now on, you're going to ask the Father. You're going to talk straightway as a son, as a child, to the Father. And you're going to go to the Father, not to me. But you're going to be able to go to the Father because of me. You're going to go to the Father because of me as a son. And you're going to desire the will of the Father as I did in my perfect humanity for 3 1/3 years and more. Wow. The will of the Father. I'm going to express that will. And God, you want that outworked. That's right. And you want that outworked in our lives. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, so whatever the need. Therefore, while you're here, chapter 7, and you'll see it again. In chapter 7, picking up, if I can, chapter 7, verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rent you. Because they aren't, no one's, who appreciates such truth? not the flesh doesn't, that's for sure. Verse 7, ask, and there's your little word, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. 4, verse 8, every one that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If you're looking to me, I work it all out. What I'm going to say it now in John 14. I just read that. If you, I'm the king, and you're looking to me, I make it all work, okay? Now, so John chapter 14, I'm going to say it for us in the church. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, I will do it. Why? That the Father may be glorified. That's why. That's why you're going to talk to the Father on behalf as a son. That's why we pray. That's why we supplicate. That's why we make our request. Why? Because God, we're looking for you to outwork your good and wonderful will in a most awesome and wonderful way. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, or if you would, oh, for time's sake, just to touch on it, at least to touch it, James chapter 2, James chapter 4, better. No, chapter 2. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. If I can. Well, no. Chapter 4, back to 4. James chapter 4. And may I pick up the thought, as you know. Verse 2. You lust and have not, and kill. You desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask, there's your little word, ask not. Ye ask, there it is again, verse 3, and receive not, why not? Because you ask amiss, you aren't asking rightly, in my name, for my glory, that you may consume it upon your lust. So you want me to do things for you, for work, home, job, school, your future, to make you feel good and accomplish what you want. Now, think of what we did in Psalm 40 and 139 in that. My thoughts to you, about you, are more than the sand of the sea. And you're trying to tell me of what you think is best for your life, right? You're trying to tell me you got it, right? If I just do it. Now, God said, I want you to go, Isaiah 55, and weigh your thought. Here we are. Here's your thought. Now, I want you to weigh your thought against mine. Now, where does your thought fit in? Consider my thoughts that are higher than the heavens. So don't tell me what I should do. I have a plan for you that you never knew and couldn't even ever dream of before you were ever created. We've said that to you 5,000 times. Go for it. Go for it.
No, we don't want to go for it. Nope. No, I got my things. Family, friends, jobs, enemy.
No, you're missing out. That doesn't mean you're stupid and look like sit in a rocking chair. Or God sent you to some mean place where there's headhunters and they're hungry. God isn't doing that. God does what he does most smartly and most wonderfully. If anyone's tender about you, it's God. If anyone can treat you right, it's God. God knows when it hurts. God knows how it hurts. But it's never more hurt than he wants. Wow. So God, here we are looking at in your wonderful way for all that you're doing. And in John, back over to John, chapter 14. John chapter 14, picking up if I may. I want to read it. I just read it slow. And they aren't big words, very little words. The very little words are infinitely large. Therefore, verse 13, whatsoever, now remember our Lord, we don't have to turn there, remember our Lord said about the mountains, Matthew, why don't you, can you hold your finger right here, and go over to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 21. And we shared a moment ago, when God says it, it's awesome. When we say it, it's stupid. Whenever we say stuff, it's stupid, but not when God does it. So therefore, chapter 21 of Matthew, picking up, if I may, verse 20. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? And Jesus answered and said unto them, to his disciples, now they're being educated, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, if you have faith, and you may or may not, and doubt not, I don't want you to doubt now, you shall not only do that which is done to this fig tree, but also ye shall say unto the mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And, verse 22, and all these things whatsoever you shall ask, there's your little word, in prayer believing, you shall receive them. Now, if God wants you to move a mountain, you will. If God wants Moses, back, simple thing, God wants Moses up at the top where the fire is, into the fire, with no water and no food for 40 days and nights. No problem. If God wants it, it is so. It's stupid to move a mountain. No. But if God said it, and it's in God's will, that's what he said. Ask in my name. Don't, in faith, are you looking for my will? If I want to move that mountain, guess, using our study in the evening, Joshua, back yesterday when we did it. Joshua, we shared it when it was an awesome thing. In great boldness, the leader of the 600-something-thousand men, the leader, he stands there and publicly, and the enemies are all looking at him, and over here they're lined up against him, and over here is his own 600,000 men looking, and he raises his arms or hands and says, God, he doesn't even say God. He says, Son, stand thou still. And it did. Remember, we did it. You just stopped the sun. No, God's will. If I want to move the mountain, you bet your boots. If I want to cure you from the plague, you bet your boots. I can do anything in my will, for my glory. The glory of whom? The Father. How can I glorify the Father? You can't. But in my name, on my behalf, as a son, understanding you're in the Son, the body of Jesus Christ, you can come as my body and look to bear evidence of the resurrection until I come and take you in the rapture, etc. So here we are, God, bearing evidence of your wonderful person in a most wonderful way. Therefore, John chapter 14, again, verse 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. I'm going to do it. That, the reason I'm going to do it, is that the Father may be glorified. How can the Father be glorified in the Son? And if you may or may not, you ask anything, desire anything, in my name, in my will, for my glory, for my honor, you want my will outworked in your life? Uh-huh. If you ask anything, I will do it. I'll just do it. How's that? How can you ask more than that? 1 John 5:14-15, whatever the petitions you asked, you already want. You already have them. And you haven't even seen it. No, I asked for your will next week. I haven't got there yet. When I get there, that's what I expect to find. I'm going to go to the doctor, Dr. Jones or something, and I don't know what the doctor's going to say, but you do. And God, you know all about it and what I should do and not do. So God, I haven't got there yet, but I'm looking to you with thanksgiving. Off to the doctor I go. Well, and God, I haven't even got there yet. The doctor hasn't even lived. He's still like me, waiting to get there next week. But God, God, you're there, and I want your will in it. That's what I want. That's what I want, God. That's awesome, isn't it? That's awesome, awesome. That's a privilege of a believer who understands and exercises how it works. Not what you want, how it works. Follow the recipe. Follow God's wonderful will in a most wonderful way. And God, you'll do what you do as only you can do it. Therefore, we're asking and desiring in Christ's name on behalf of the Son, as the Son of God would ask, because we represent him. Therefore, we have to have his works. His works will be in us the same as it was him, because we represent not us, we represent him. And he said very clearly, without me you can do nothing. So I got that part. So God, that's how it has to be. That's right. You abide, the branch abides in the vine, and just rests and enjoys the trip. Over, if you would, to Colossians. And Colossians, and in chapter 1, verse 9, the prayer. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire, there's your little word ask, desire, that, desire to ask, that you might be filled with all the full, not of all, filled with the knowledge of his will, of his will, of his will, underline, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, results. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's your journey. That's the rest of your life in his life. Now, chapter 3. So God, how's it going to work out practically? Okay. Chapter 3, you know, verse 17. And whatsoever you do ask, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving, there's your thanks. Got to have thanksgiving, you betcha. Thanks to God and the Father by him, and sliding along, verse 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily with your whole soul, with your whole being, not a half-hearted, nope, I'm in it. We're in the game. Yes, sir. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily with your whole soul, your whole being, to the Lord, as to the Lord and not unto men, not to yourself. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Well, so whatever we do, And when you don't know what to do, you're walking in the light, in normal. But then when there are things come up, and they do, lots of things come up, and school, work, and home, and you look to God to work it out, in wanting his will, asking, desiring his will. And you want his will. That's what you want. And therefore, the Lord Jesus said, don't you understand? You're going to do greater works than I did. I'm going to do in you what I did in my son, said the Father. I'm going to do it in you. And you're going to ask in his name, and I'm going to do it. Simple as that. That's your life. Now, yeah, it can be. Yes, it is. It's impossible. You bet it is. Except it's whose life? Whose life in you? God's life. In your little lives and mine, we're nothing. Is that right? We're vessels of clay. But the power of God within us, that's a whole other world. God, why did you save us? To give us a ticket to heaven? No. I saved you to represent me here and now for a few moments, to show that I can save to the uttermost to anyone that believes. And all you got to do is believe and receive me as your Savior, and I'm going to go and you start the wonderful journey into my wonderful heart forever. Well, no. Ask anything. No. I'll bet you, when's the last time you saw anybody doing that? Do you know anyone that does that? I don't know. Wow. I told you, said God, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. God, how can I go wrong? Except in my thing, my little flesh. Well, so we'll pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and help us inch by inch here. God, we're just going to inch along. I don't want to put our flesh gets in the way, our feelings, our fears, our faults, our ignorance. And God, we start parading that around, and nope, God, we're just going to be quiet and bend down our head and heart for you to do and help us inch by inch. You can do it foot by foot, but God, I don't know that we can do that. But a little bit, inch by inch, for your goodwill. It isn't about our family, it isn't about our job, it isn't about our health, it isn't about our wealth. It's about you. Father, that you'd be glorified. As sons, God, that's what we want. So, Father, honor yourself, and we'll thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen.